The Old Testament reading for this first Sunday in Advent is from Isaiah chapter 2. The word that Isaiah the son of Amoz saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. It shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established as the highest of the mountains and shall be lifted above the hills, and all the nations shall flow to it. And many people shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations, and shall decide disputes for many peoples. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle reading comes from Romans chapter 13. Besides this, you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The night is far gone, the day is at hand. So then let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 21st chapter. Now, when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethphage, to the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with it. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord needs them, and he will send them at once. This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden. The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put on them their cloaks, and he sat on them. Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest! And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up, saying, who is this? And the crowd said, this is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I have to be honest, I used all of my good Christ the King stuff last week. I'm only semi-kidding in a week that also called for a Thanksgiving sermon, a newsletter, parent-teacher conferences for three kids, and my birthday. So, the idea that took form when I turned to today's text might be a little bit of a stretch, but I hope it's relatable. It's something that comes from the author David Foster Wallace that I share every year with the confirmants when we cover the first commandment. Wallace has a line that you are going to serve somebody. And he continues to insightfully explain why you might choose to follow someone like JC, Jesus Christ, or one of the other major religions. And in his words, because everything else will eat you alive. And I swear that he must have been reading or must have read Luther's Large Catechism at some point, because Luther says almost exactly the same things. We all have a God. The only question really is, do we know who or what our God is? All of the idols that we might choose are vicious masters. They will eat you up. Which is why Jesus can say, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It's why the prophets point towards this one as your king who comes to you humbly and mounted on a donkey. So, what does it mean to have a king? And I think the words that could be used today for what is meant is, what is your primary identity? And when I say your primary identity, what that really means is, which stories do you take as binding and normative on your life? And do you know which ones? Are you cognizant of what binds you? The world has a ton of stories, of myths, that it wants you to take as binding. Stories of race or sex or gender or a variety of ideologies. And if you don't like any of those, it could be nationalism or individualism or authenticity. Or you could just like to watch the world burn. And all of those idols are jostling aggressively for our worship. If they can force us, they will. They do not come humbly, but they come on war chargers. Just as David Foster Wallace held, they will eat you alive. They'll eat all of us alive. It was really not that different at the time that Jesus got on that colt. There were Jews who defined themselves, who found their identity in not being Gentiles. And then they subdivide from there, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the Zealots, each with their own specific brands. But there are also geographic identities. All of Jerusalem was stirred up. Who is this? The Jews of Jerusalem held themselves to be a bit better, a bit higher. And yelling back at them, who is this? This is Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee. This is the prophet of the people of the land, you stuck-up city dwellers. They followed in front of him and behind him, spreading their cloaks and their palm branches on the road. But I think it can safely be said that all of these folks were serving different kings than the one who came humbly. They might have been singing Hosanna to the Son of David, but they had no idea what that really meant. Jesus was not their king. His story was not yet binding on them. They were trying to bind him, to claim him for their son, or to sideline him, or to ignore him. And it would be their inability to do any of those things that would put him on that cross. And this is the weakness This is the humility that the kingdom of Jesus comes by. It doesn't come by the sword or by heredity or culture or the mob. The kingdom doesn't come by any of those things that we think of as strong. It comes by invitation and promise. Follow me, and I will give you rest. The kingdom comes first by proclamation. It comes by the foolishness of someone telling you, or even more foolish, by someone preaching to you. The kingdom comes by that word alone. The one who has ears, let them hear. The kingdom comes through events that none of us have witnessed directly. Yet we only have the testimony. And that testimony is to such one-time unique things as resurrection. The kingdom comes through faith. It comes one heart at a time believing that witness. The king stands at the door and knocks. And what is probably the toughest thing is that it only comes by grace. Today, I've come to your house, Zacchaeus. You can't fight your way in. You can't steal your way in. You can't win any medals that give you entry to the kingdom. You can't immigrate under your own initiative. The kingdom is yours when the king offers, and only when it's accepted as his grace. But as humbly as the reign of Jesus comes, it's still a kingdom. Go and bring the donkey. The Lord has need of it. There is a story that is binding, and that is the story of Jesus. And that is the way of the cross. There's a watch to keep. As Paul says, the night is far gone, the day is at hand, so let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Today, the kingdom comes humbly. Today, the kingdom suffers violence, and the violent take it by force, abusing it and attempting to bend the kingdom to their desires. Today, people parade in front of it and behind it with their own projects. Today, the kingdom suffers these. Because if they didn't cry out, the stones would, which might be a better witness. But it comes humbly. It comes in this way today so that you know the difference. Because the cross is a sure mark of the kingdom. The kingdom comes today as it always has. It comes by invitation and by promise. Today, the cross. Pick it up and follow. Tomorrow, the glory. The kingdom will come in all of its glory. You shall see the Son of Man come in the clouds of glory with all of his angels. There's a day when all of the identities are fixed, when the invitation is closed, when the promise is realized. But until that day, like all of the people of God, we are called to watch. We're called to walk properly, to put on Jesus Christ. We are called to watch, to gladly hear and learn the word. Unlike all of those identities that eat us up, this is the only one that renews, that resurrects. If we desire to keep our lives, our identities, we'll lose them. But if we lose them for the sake of the gospel, we'll save them. Every tribe and language and people and nation is found cheering on the king entering into the New Jerusalem. But all of those things are secondary to their clothing. The white robes washed in the blood of the Lamb. They are secondary to the new song that is placed on their lips. Glory and power and dominion and praise be to our God and to the Lamb. Only what is found in Christ will last. But what is found in Christ will last. You're going to serve something. Choose your king carefully. Amen.